Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
It's entitled The Supremacy of Christ as we look at Paul's letter to this church in Colossae. Several years ago, my wife and I, as we were celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary, we went to Pigeon Forge. And one of the things we did while we were there is we went to a murder mystery dinner. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those, but it was absolutely wonderful. If you don't know what that's all about, you go in and basically it's a whodunit situation. And there's characters and they act out and they drop hints and clues all along. And you are sitting at your table with a group of other people trying to figure out who committed the crime? Who is the one that is guilty of what happened? And you've got to figure out the mystery of who did it. Interestingly, after it was over, everybody knew who did it because they told us. It's helpful, right? Here's the thing that's going on in this church in Colossae. There's false teaching that has infiltrated the church. There was this mindset that the people needed more than just Jesus. They needed Jesus plus something else to really experience salvation. And Paul is writing to this group of believers and saying to them, listen, do not lose sight of the reality that Jesus Christ is all you need. That salvation can only be found in Him. There's not some other mystery that clues have been dropped along the way and we don't know the ending of the story. Paul is going to argue this morning with this group of believers. Jesus Christ is the mystery. He is the one who has come to save His people from their sin. And Paul, in writing this letter, is going to emphasize this morning that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You with me? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So let's look this morning, beginning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, and it'll carry us this morning through verse 5 of chapter 2. Paul writes, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the Word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Father, we ask this morning that as we open your word together and we unpack it, you would open our eyes that we would be able to see. That you would open our ears that we would be able to hear. And that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. As we think about keeping the main thing, Paul is going to emphasize that reality in his own ministry. Paul is going to give us a peek behind the curtain of his life and his ministry. What is Paul's goal? What is Paul trying to accomplish? What does Paul want to have happen in the churches in which he ministers and those that are planted as a result of his ministry in other locations? What does Paul want to see transpire? And as we ask that question this morning, I want us to look first in verses 24 through 27 at the foundation of Paul's ministry. The foundation of Paul's ministry. He begins in verse 24 and he says, "Now I rejoice that I have a big church." Is that what your Bible says? Mine either. I rejoice that we're no longer meeting in a school. Not what Paul says. I rejoice that I've got thousands of people coming to hear me now. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings. Don't forget that Paul, in this moment, as he is writing this letter to this church, is sitting in prison for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is not living his best life now as he's writing this. Paul is, in fact, suffering for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now, don't read that in saying that what Paul is indicating here is that Jesus didn't suffer or not enough, so Paul is stepping in and carrying it on. That's not what Paul is saying. Don't forget, Paul has already said Jesus is enough. Jesus' sufferings are enough to save us from our sins. His death is enough. His resurrection is enough. What Paul is saying here is, I am participating in the same suffering that Jesus Christ experienced in his ministry. And so Paul doesn't look and say, if I'm going to follow Christ, then that just means life is going to be easy and I don't have to worry about suffering for his name. That's not what he says. He says, no, I'm just following Jesus. And following Jesus means suffering like Jesus. And Paul here says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. His sufferings are for the benefit of this group of believers in Colossae that he's writing to. In his flesh, he's filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That's Christ's body, the church. Paul says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The foundation of Paul's ministry is to make the word of God known, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He picks up in verse 26 and he says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. You see, in the church, what they were facing was people coming in and saying, listen, you need something more than just Jesus. We have this secret reservoir of knowledge that you need that in order to really experience the Christian life like you want to experience it. Because Jesus is not quite enough. You need this little bit extra. If you could just get this extra knowledge, this extra mystery that amazingly we figured it out. You don't have it quite yet, but we've got it. And we can impart that to you. And Paul says, no, no, no. Paul says the foundation, this mystery is Jesus Christ. He says in verse 26, it was hidden for ages and generations, but it's been revealed to His saints. Verse 27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the mystery? It's not some secret knowledge plus Jesus. Paul says that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul is writing to this church that is battling those coming in trying to say you need Jesus plus something else. And Paul says, no, you need Jesus, period. You need Jesus, end of the discussion. You need Jesus, end of the story. You need Jesus because Jesus is the mystery. Not mystery in the sense that we don't know who Jesus is or we don't know what Jesus came to do. No, what Paul is looking back and he is recounting for us from the time that God created Adam and Eve in the garden and they sinned in Genesis chapter 3. And a promise was made in Genesis 3:15 that God would send one who would crush the head of the serpent. And then throughout the Old Testament and the prophets coming, they are looking forward to the day when the Messiah, the true Savior, would come to this earth. And we saw pictures and glimpses throughout the Old Testament of what people thought was going to be the Savior. People that they had trusted and thought, these people are going to lead us through what we need. And yet, time and time again, it was just a glimpse of the Messiah coming. And the prophets are proclaiming, be looking, He's coming. Be looking, He's coming. Be waiting, be longing, be thirsting to see the Savior come. And then we move into Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and we see God in the flesh among us. We covered that earlier in this series, that who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Paul is looking back and he's recounting what was a mystery throughout the Old Testament that the Old Testament saints were longing to see for themselves. Paul says here, we know the mystery. And that mystery is Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the hope of glory that we are longing for. The foundation of Paul's ministry is not creativity. It's not thousands of people coming to hear him. It's not a big building with padded chairs. The foundation of Paul's ministry is Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to take heart in knowing the foundation of the ministry at North River Church is Jesus. We will lift high the name of Jesus every opportunity we have to meet together. We will lift high the name of Jesus, and He will rule His church here at North River. There's no question about that. That is the foundation of this church. That is the foundation of the church. That is the foundation of Paul's ministry. He doesn't stop there. Paul continues on and emphasizing, keeping the main thing by describing the focus of his ministry. Let's look verses 28 and 29. The focus of Paul's ministry in light of Christ being the foundation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says the focus of his ministry is this: Him, that's Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. The focus of Paul's ministry is not a program. The focus of Paul's ministry is not drawing a crowd. The focus of Paul's ministry is not building buildings. The focus of Paul's ministry is not taking up offerings. The focus of Paul's ministry is in verse 28 and 29, to proclaim Jesus and to present mature believers. That's all Paul's worried about. How do we know that? He told us that. Him we proclaim. He's proclaiming Jesus. How does he proclaim Jesus? Warning everyone. What's the warning? Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. That's the warning. It's the warning that Paul consistently proclaimed throughout his ministry, that every single one of us are born with a problem. That problem's called sin. You don't believe it? Go serve in the threes and fours class. Every single one of us is born with a sin problem, and we need someone to save us from our sin. And the only one who's qualified to do that is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He's the only one who can save us from our sin. So naturally, if that's true, and if that's what Paul believes, then Paul says, I have to warn people of that reality. I have to tell people that apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, they will die and spend eternity separated from God in hell. If I don't proclaim that, how will they know the truth? Listen, Paul is not politically correct. Paul is not worried about offending people. Paul is not worried about whether people are going to hear what he says and say, gosh, that sounds harsh. Paul's passion is for people to know Jesus. Paul's passion is for people to have their lives transformed by Jesus. And Paul was a picture-perfect candidate of one who was running headlong, doing everything he could do to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ until he met Jesus face to face. And then his entire life was transformed. And you may be here this morning, and I mention this every single week because I am absolutely convinced that there are people here who have never taken the step of trusting Jesus Christ for salvation. And so hear me this morning. This is for you the warning that unless you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus as your Savior, you cannot be saved. Consider this your flashing light before going through a school zone that says, slow down, pay attention, look at what you're doing. Let that this morning be a warning for you that if you've not taken that step of trusting in Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to take another moment separated from God. You can trust in what Christ has done for you and forgiving you of your sin and calling on Jesus to save you. Paul says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Proclaiming Jesus is more than just telling people that they need to be saved. That's part of it. Warning people that if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they can't be saved. That's part of it. But if you remember, Jesus told us in His commission that He left us with to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, and to teach them all that Jesus commanded. And so Paul's focus of his ministry is not simply to warn people that if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, that they will spend eternity separated from Him, but he also takes as a focus of his ministry of proclaiming Jesus and teaching people to follow Jesus with their lives. So if you're a believer here this morning, that's you. Too many of us have checked the box of I got saved, and we're still sitting spiritually where we were as newborn babies. We've not grown in our relationship with Jesus Christ the way that He intends for us to grow. And here, Paul is emphasizing that reality. We warn people, but then we teach them. We show them who Jesus is. Last week, hopefully, you saw Jesus for who He is. If we could get a great picture in our mind of who Jesus is, it'll transform the way that we live our lives. Paul says, we proclaim Jesus by warning and by teaching, but then he continues on and he says, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Paul's end goal in warning people and then coming to faith in Christ and then teaching them how to follow Christ with their lives is so they can get to the end and Paul look at them and say, this person right here was far from God, but they trusted in Jesus as their Savior. They were born again. They were transformed. And then from that point, they've been taught to follow Jesus with their lives, and we can trace a trajectory in their life of them growing in their relationship with Jesus. And Paul looks and he says, look at this person who was far from God but was saved and who was taught to follow Jesus with their lives and who at the end of their lives are a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. Paul says that's what we're trying to accomplish. That is the focus of the ministry. He says in verse 29, for this I toil. Struggling with all of His energy, that's Christ's energy, that He powerfully works within me. I don't know if you noticed the connection there between those two things. What Paul is saying there is, I work my behind off. That's in the Greek. I toil. I work my behind off. And then he says this, and the power that allows me to do that is Jesus Christ working in me. So Paul says, I'm working, I'm going after it, I'm going hard, I'm proclaiming Christ, I'm lifting up Christ, I'm warning people, I'm teaching people, and I'm getting tired, and then the energy of Jesus Christ at work within me gives me the next burst so that I can keep doing what He's called me to do. You look at Paul's ministry and you go, how in the world can one man accomplish all that he accomplished? And the answer is, it wasn't one man. It was Paul with Jesus at work in him. Paul's focus is proclaiming Christ, presenting believers that are mature in Christ. He continues on here, and in light of keeping the main thing, Paul looks forward to the future. And so we see here a glimpse of the future of Paul's ministry. We hear his heart here as he writes, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Paul is looking forward to what God's going to do there in this church. Paul recognizes, sitting in chains, that the future of what happens in this church is going to matter. That what transpires with this group of believers is important. And I hear it in Paul, beginning in verse 1, about the great struggle. You know, you call me as your pastor at 32. And I'm asking God for 35 years together. That puts me at 67. And you can roll me off the stage at that point. But here's what that means. And looking at what Paul is asking God to do in this group of believers here, Paul's looking at the future, and there's things he wants to see transpire. There's things that he wants to see happen. He wants to see a group of Jesus followers whose hearts are encouraged. He wants to see them love one another. He wants to see them maturing. He's looking at this group of believers, and he doesn't want them to be deceived by false teaching. He wants them to have a church that's in good order. He wants them to remain firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul is looking at the future of his ministry, desiring for those things to be true about this group of believers here. And as a pastor, that's my heart's desire. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see transpire and continue to transpire here at North River Church. And here's what that means. What that means for us is that, I mean, let's be honest, that's 31 years from now. Some of you are not going to be here. Some of you are saying, take me to Jesus, right? But some of you are not going to be here, and we are going to gather, and we are going to celebrate your life. And if God allows, I'll officiate your funeral. And I'll be able to look and to proclaim to all who are gathered that this believer who has gone on to see Jesus face to face walked out and was mature in their walk with him. or when I officiate your kids' weddings, that I'll be able to proclaim to them and all who are gathered that this marriage represents, it's a picture of Christ and His relationship with His church. Or when we are sitting in the hospital room and you've gotten a diagnosis that you weren't expecting, that Jesus Christ will be enough in that moment. That is the future of a ministry whose foundation is Jesus, and that is committed to proclaiming Jesus every single day. So the question that sits before us this morning are we committed to keep the main thing, the main thing? Are we committed that the foundation of this church today and every single day it exists is Jesus Christ? That the focus of the ministry of this church today and every single day that it exists is to proclaim Jesus Christ? And that the future of this ministry today and every single day going forward is to lift high the name of Jesus Christ? Here's the reality. We have to want that. We have to be committed to that. It takes every single one of us seeing the beauty and the majesty of who Jesus Christ is and saying, nothing else compares to Him. Nothing else in my life compares to Him. Nothing else in this church compares to Him. Jesus Christ is enough. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, I'm thankful for the Apostle Paul and his commitment to keep the main thing, the main thing. Father, may we as Your church gathered here at North River, as has been done in the past, to renew once again our commitment that Jesus Christ is the main thing. That He is the foundation, that He is the focus, that He is the future of this ministry. Father, this morning, if there are some here that are gathered and they've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus as their Savior, Father, they have been warned this morning. Warned in love and with a desire that they would trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, give them the courage this morning to take that important step. Father, where we become distracted as Your children, would You remind us once again of how amazing and majestic and worthy Jesus Christ is, deserving of all of our worship, of all of our praise, of our lives. Take these moments that we have as we sing and work in us to remind us of that truth and then implant it deep within our hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.